word this morning.
Hear the gospel message this morning coming from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord. Man, you may be seated. If we have not met yet, my name's Bennett Ellison. I'm a pastoral intern here at Church of the Cross and also teach faith formation here at Cross Schools. And as we get ready to dive into the word this morning, I want to invite you to pray for me and pray with me. So let's pray briefly. Father, we come to you today as your bride, the church. And Father, you promise us that you are here in our midst when we gather in your name, when we lift up praises to you. And Lord, I give you thanks already for the work that you're doing in our hearts in this time. And we ask for more, Lord. We thank you for the written word in the inspired scriptures. And we thank you for the living word in the person of Jesus Christ. So Spirit of Christ, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak now. Nobody in here needs Bennett's words or thoughts. Every single one of us need a word from you, Holy Spirit. So come and soften our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts to behold Christ today. And Father, I ask that as I teach the word, you would allow me to teach this text with accuracy. And as I preach the word, you would allow me to preach it with authority by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he who has ears, let him hear. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, if you were here, you'll recall that I brought on stage several of our middle and high school students who went with us to a mission trip in downtown Atlanta a couple of weeks ago throughout the summer. It was a great trip, and we went to a homeless shelter in downtown Atlanta, stayed there, and worked with many of the children there at the shelter. And what this looked like was essentially, it was kind of like summer camp all week. You know, super fun, Jesus-centered. And in the midst of summer camp, you know, we'd play a lot of games. And one of the games that the kids at the shelter loved to play was Jenga. Just an all-time classic game. And I actually brought a picture from some of our students playing Jenga with the kiddos at the shelter. Everyone loves Jenga. It's super classic. But I had not played in a while. So I sat back and observed how they were playing. And it's interesting, at the shelter, they don't just pull out like a Jenga box. They have this giant bin full of several boxes worth of Jenga pieces, right? And so they would play multiple games. In some games, they would build it kind of an average height. Some games, they would build it as tall as they could. And it was just a recipe for disaster, right? And as I watched, I realized there's a recurring theme every single Jenga game. You know what it is? Eventually, the tower will fall. Eventually, like they're every single time, every game ends this way. There's no getting around it. Eventually, whatever tower is built, it will eventually fall. Friends, our gospel lesson this morning is a sobering reminder from Jesus that every single one of us is building something with our lives. We're each building little towers. And we need to be reminded, friends, that one day every tower that we build will fall. And the invitation of Jesus today is to wisely consider what we're building with our lives. That's what this parable is about. Jesus gives this parable of a rich fool, a rich fool. And I want us to be aware that the rebuke of Jesus in this parable is not against having possessions. The rebuke of Jesus is rather against the heart. Notice how Jesus sets up the parable in verse 15. We'll put this text up on the screen. This is kind of the thesis statement, the main idea that Jesus is going to illustrate with the parable. He says, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness or greed." Why? "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." When we zoom out from this one section in Luke chapter 12 and we kind of get a big picture view of all of Jesus's teaching, you'll realize that Jesus is offering and inviting us into a new way of life. Jesus himself is embodying, he is living out this vision for humanity that God desires. Jesus will often teach about this way of life and talk about it in terms of the kingdom of God. It's what God wants us to step into, and he's inviting us into. Jesus lived it, and Jesus invites us to join him in it. When you read throughout the Gospels, you'll see Jesus teach about this. One example, Matthew 5-7, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, when you follow him in this new way of life, in the kingdom life, it's one where the meek are among us are those who inherit the earth. It's a life where those who show mercy will receive mercy. I love this part. Jesus says, in this way of life, it's the purity of heart which enables you to see God. Do you want that? I want that. It's a life that is on guard against anger and lust in the heart. And it's a life of generosity, sincerity, and self-giving. Later in the Gospels, in John chapter 10, Jesus will summarize this by saying, this is kind of a mission statement. Jesus says, "I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly." So notice, friends, Jesus coming to live among us, his life, it wasn't just so that we can go to heaven one day. It's so that right now we can live into God's vision for humanity. A humanity that has been reconciled to God and now can be reconciled to one another. That lives in the power and the grace of God, the new creation. So Jesus thoroughly throughout the scriptures gives us positive examples of, here's what it looks like. Follow me. I'm doing it. Follow my way. But then Jesus, for example, in our text today, will give us a negative example. He'll give us examples of what it looks like and the consequences thereof when we don't follow in his ways. And Jesus describes that person as a fool. Fool. For our purposes today, here's how I'm defining a fool. A fool is anyone who spends their life focused on the wrong things and thus misses out on the life that God is inviting us into. A fool is anyone who spends their life focused on the wrong things, and as a result, you miss out on Jesus' invitation into this abundant life, his vision for humanity. So for a few moments, I want us to consider this parable and think about what are the signs of a foolish life which misses out on Jesus' invitation. What are the signs of a foolish life which miss out on the life that Jesus is offering? The first idea is this. We miss out on Jesus' picture of life when we spend our lives with ourselves at the center. I want us to go back through this text. I want you to listen for the man in the parable, the fool, listen to how self-centered he is in this dialogue. Verses 17 and 18. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods." You see this repetitiveness throughout the text here? This man, as he's thinking about it, this fool, the foolish thinking says, it's all about me, me building up my kingdom. And Jesus says, that's foolish. Now we might look at the text and say, well, Bennett, let's think about this. God had blessed him with a lot. Like, how are you going to fault him for being blessed with all this rich harvest? Because God clearly blessed him with it, and perhaps he might have worked for it, so he may have earned it now. What's wrong with that? The reality, friends, is that God's vision for blessing and for human flourishing, it is for you, but it cannot stop with you. Or as Father Chuck will often remind us, we are blessed. Why? To be a blessing. When this man in our parable had the blessing of the overflow of crops, he has the opportunity to build something. The mistake that he made was that he built up for himself rather than out for the sake of others. He had all that he needed. And when he had an abundance, he said, what am I going to do? I will build up for myself rather than out for the sake of others. Now, friends, here at the Church of the Cross in Bluffton, South Carolina, we are blessed with an abundant harvest. Amen? And God is asking us individually and collectively, what are you going to build with what I've blessed you with? What we're seeing right now across our two campuses here at Buckwalter, at the historic campus, as well as we expand to a third campus at East Argent, is that the life-giving power and the blessing of God is for those who realize it's not about us. It's not about building up for my name's sake or for my legacy. It's about receiving the life, receiving the blessing, receiving the grace of God, and then spending our lives to make sure our neighbors have it too. The man in our story was a fool, not because he was rich, but because he built up for himself rather than out for the sake of others. And I just want to ask you, friends, what are you building with your life? May it be said of us that we are people who spend our lives building for the sake of others. Second idea from our text is this. We miss out on Jesus's picture of life when we mistake the temporary for the eternal. The temporary for the eternal. Look at verses 19 and 20 with me. The fool in the parable says, I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? This man, this fool, had spent time and money and energy building up bigger barns. And now he plans to relax and spend many years enjoying it all. He thinks he has many years. But do you see the flip? God says, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. Notice what God required of the man. Notice what God was interested in. God did not care about the size of the barns. God cares about the state of your soul. Why? Because every barn that we build will fall one day. But the soul is what lasts forever. The soul is what God has fashioned. The soul is what God cares about most. So friends, how is it with your soul? Are you caring for the things that matter most to God? Because the tragedy for the fool in the parable is that he spent all of his life focused and caring about the wrong things. One of my favorite preachers that has richly shaped my life is a man named John Piper. And he has this fantastic sermon illustration, which I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'd encourage you to Google it later. It's just really powerful. It's about seashells. And he gave this illustration. I saw it. It was a clip from about 25 years ago. And in the illustration, he talks about a magazine article he found about a couple that took early retirement, bought a boat, and then moved out by an island. And in the article, they say that they spend all of their days now. How do they spend their time? They walk around the shore collecting seashells. And Piper says, and I can't do the full impersonation, you gotta watch it. He goes, "That is a tragedy. Shells. And one day they're gonna stand before God. And what are they gonna have to say before the Lord? Look, Lord, look at all my shells." I mean, it's convicting. Like, go watch it. Now, for my family, it has been so powerful that it's now become like a fun like talking point in our family. Like, you know, don't waste your life on shells, you know. But where this gets interesting is that about this time last year, I moved to Bluffton, South Carolina. And my parents were helping me move in. And we were unpacking boxes. And while we're unpacking, my mom says, "Bennett, I don't know if you remember this, but when you were little, we'd go on family vacation to the beach. And we would go around and we collected seashells together." And she knows about the Piper illustration, by the way. And she goes, "But I don't know if you remember, we'd go around collecting seashells." And I said, "You know, I kind of do remember that." And she said, "I don't know if you know this part, I've kept every single shell that we have collected." And she reached into the box and pulled out this jar of shells. She gave it to me. It was very sweet. And now, this sits on the bookshelf right when you walk into my house, right by my front door. Why? Two reasons. One, it serves as a precious memory of time with my mom. But second, it is a daily reminder for me not to spend my life focused on the wrong things, not to invest my life in the things that are going to fade, but to spend my life for the sake of souls. That is my call, and friends, it is your call. Don't waste your life being the fool, investing in the temporary, and building bigger barns for yourself. My prayer is that we at Church of the Cross would be a people that say, "It's not about us. God has richly blessed us, and therefore we're going to build out for the sake of others, so that other people not in this room, yes, in this room, but also outside of this room, may experience the love and grace of God. And we're going to focus on the things that are eternal, because when we all stand before the Lord, that's what he's going to care about most. You focus on this, everything else will take care of itself. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in thanksgiving. You have richly blessed us with an abundant harvest. And Father, forgive us where we have not been good stewards. Have mercy on us, Lord, where we have allowed greed and covetousness to be our aim. And Father, I pray through the fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit that you would awaken us to the reality of the things that matter most. Lord, protect us from being fools. And help us, Lord, to follow in the life-giving way of Jesus Christ. We pray this all in his name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us?